Well, turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 2 this morning. This is our last message in the series that we've been doing called The Colors of Christmas. And we've been talking about these traditional Christmas colors and the spiritual meaning behind these colors. So week number one, we talked about green and how green represents new life and hope that even though we're in the midst of winter, spring is coming. And spiritually, no matter how bleak things might look, Jesus Christ brings new life. And then the second week, we talked about the color red, representing the fact that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world by shedding his blood on the cross. Last week, we talked about the color gold and how that represents the fact that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he's coming back one day and he will rule and reign for all eternity. This morning, our color is white. White. We're going to read Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So we're going to back up to verse 11 in Luke 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." Everybody say good news. That will cause great joy. Everybody say great joy. For all the people. Good news, great joy. This was the dawn of a new day, right? Everything changed when Jesus came. So much so, in fact, that that's how we measure time. It's how we have our date system. It all revolves around the birth of Jesus, B.C., before Christ, and Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. So history changed, and people recognize that. History changed at the coming of Christ. But this is also true of the individual, that when we come to faith in Christ and we invite him into our lives, everything changes, right? Jesus referred to this as being born again. So it's not just a decision. It's not just adopting a new religion. It's a miracle that takes place in our lives. It's life transformation. It's the end of the old way of life, and it's the beginning of a brand new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And as we close out this year, and we look forward to a new year, I want to encourage you this morning to consider the new chapter, the fresh start that God brings to all of our lives. God is a God of new beginnings, right? And this is such an important concept to the Lord for us that he also gave the Jews a couple of important dates on their calendar that would represent a new beginning. Two of the highest holy days on the Jewish calendar are Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the new year, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. So Rosh Hashanah represents the start of a new year, and it's followed by 10 days of reflection, of purification, of repentance, followed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the most holy place in the temple and make a sacrifice, a sin sacrifice for the sins of the entire nation. So as they started this new year, God was sending this message, it's a new day. You have a fresh start. You have a new beginning. Now, what does that have to do with us? That happened a long time ago and it was under the Jewish law. Well, all of that, friends, was looking forward to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is our atonement. So our Day of Atonement, if you will, happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. But this time, it didn't have to be repeated every year, like under the old covenant. When Jesus died on the cross, remember what he said? He said, it is finished. So the entire Christian life is a life of new beginnings. Aren't you thankful today, church, that God is a God of second chances? Amen? Of a fresh start, of a new beginning. And as we close out 2019 and we look forward to 2020, I want to encourage you in your heart to see next year as a year of new beginnings. Look, I don't know what's going to happen in your life next year. I don't know what's going to happen in my life, but I do know this. God's blessing is going to rest upon us. I said, church, God's blessing is going to rest upon us, right? Yeah, because God promises that. God holds in store for his people always good things. That doesn't mean there won't be difficult things, but even the difficult things are good things when we put them in God's hands. Amen? So it's going to be a good year, and I want to encourage you. Maybe you're a person who makes New Year's resolutions or you set goals for the new year. I want to encourage you, believe God for great things in your life for 2020. But here's what I want to share with you this morning. In order to take a hold of what God has for you next year, there might be some things that you need to leave behind this year. Right? In order to take a hold of the new things of God, oftentimes there are things that we need to let go of. And so I want to encourage us, let's start 2020 with a clean slate. Amen? With a clean slate. Let's leave behind those things that are dragging us down and let's take a hold of the good things that God has for us. So I want to just share a few thoughts. I'm going to give you four things this morning about what I think that looks like. What does it look like to start the new year with a clean slate? Okay? So I'm going to give you four things. There's probably more than that, but I'm going to give you four that I think are big ones. First of all, let's leave behind the nagging voice of self-condemnation. That nagging voice of shame and condemnation. Remember this, not only has God forgiven our sins, he has forgotten our sins. The Bible says that he takes our sins and he's cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness. So God has intentionally forgotten our past. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this is where the color white comes in this morning. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, this great Old Testament prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Yeah, this is what Jesus has come to do. To give us a fresh start, a clean slate. Listen, we can't change our past, but we can change how we see our past. And we always want to view our past through the lens of the cross. Anytime we explore our past without factoring in the cross, it's going to lead to nothing but regret and shame and condemnation, right? So anytime you think about your past, you think about it through the lens of the cross. In John chapter 8, the religious leaders bring before Jesus a woman who had been caught in adultery. And they ask Jesus this question, trying to trap him. They said, in the law of Moses, it commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? Remember, Jesus then bent down, and he started to write on the ground with his finger. And he said these famous words, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And those who heard it, the Bible says, began to walk away until Jesus was the only one left. And then Jesus says to the woman, woman, where are they who has condemned you? And the woman said, no one, sir. And then Jesus said this, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Listen, there's going to be times in your life where the devil is going to accuse you. And even your own mind is going to condemn you. But I want you to know this morning, God's not condemning you. God doesn't condemn you. Your sins are as white as snow. Hallelujah. So let's decide we're going to leave behind that nagging voice of self-condemnation. Amen? And walk in the forgiveness that Jesus paid for when he came into this world. Secondly, something else to leave behind. Let's leave behind every hint of unforgiveness, bitterness, and strife. Church, unforgiveness is a heavy weight to carry. Bitterness is a poison to your soul. Strife will rob you of the peace that God has for you. And when we carry these things around, not only do they do us great harm, but they begin to negatively impact everyone around us. Now you might be saying to yourself, Pastor Tim, you have no idea how deeply that person has hurt me. I want to see them suffer. I want to say a couple of things to you. First of all, you need to check your heart. If there's vengeance in your heart, you need to bring that to the Lord. But the second thing I would say is stop kidding yourself. You're not hurting them. You're just torturing yourself. Right? So considering how harmful unforgiveness is to us, when you think about it, forgiving others is actually the gift we give ourselves. Right? So I want to encourage you, give yourself a great Christmas gift this year and forgive everybody who's ever hurt you. Amen? That'll be the greatest gift you could get for Christmas. Hallelujah. Leave behind every hint of unforgiveness, bitterness, and strife. And then thirdly, let's leave behind cynicism, negativity, and a critical spirit. Negativity, a critical spirit. You know, having a critical spirit is something that begins to just grow in your heart. It starts off with just a little bit of criticism that you feel is justified, a little bit of criticism here and there. And then pretty soon you become more and more critical. And then you'll find yourself being just a critical person in general in life. And before you know it, having a critical spirit will take over your life. It's going to change how you view life and everything you think and how the things that you say. And I want to challenge you today, whether it's about people or circumstances or leaders or the church, a critical spirit is both ungodly and unfruitful. It's unproductive. Leave it behind you. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, he's sending his disciples out to go do ministry. And he gives them a number of instructions with this ministry. But he leaves them this one really interesting instruction about being rejected. And he says to them, if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, don't allow the rejection of this town follow you into the next town. Right? Don't let that stuff that happened there affect what God has for you next. Right? And by the way, they did that. The Bible says the very next verse, so they went out from village to village proclaiming good news and healing people everywhere. So they refused to get stuck in rejection and negativity. At the beginning of every year here at Bethel Church, we do a 21-day period of prayer and fasting. And we're doing that again this year, beginning on January 12th. January 12th, we're going to start doing a devotional together that I've written throughout the fall. And it's a great time of seeking the Lord together, praying on your own, but also having prayer with your church family. We've got some special prayer meetings on Wednesday nights. The prayer room is going to be open every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Thursday mornings, we have prayer together at 7 o'clock. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities to pray and seek the Lord. And I want to encourage you, even now, be thinking about what the Lord would have you to fast from for those 21 days. Be thinking about that, being praying about that. But one of the things that we're doing this year as a part of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, in addition to whatever else you're fasting, we are going to be doing what I call a negativity fast. And I'm going to challenge you for 3 weeks, for 21 days, not to speak anything negative for 21 days. Man, it's getting quiet in here. 21 days of not speaking negatively. Now listen, I'm not saying that after that 21 days you'll never say another negative thing the rest of your life, but I'll promise you this. If you will do that, even if you fail from time to time in the 21 days, if you will do it, I will guarantee you, you're going to become a more positive, faith-filled person. You are. And so let's leave all that negativity and cynicism and criticism behind us. Let's shake the dust off our feet as we start a new year. Amen? Shake the dust off our feet and say, I'm leaving that junk behind. Yeah. And then finally, as we start a new year, let's leave behind this. Let's leave behind fear and procrastination. Fear and procrastination. Listen, I'm believing for every one of us that God has put some dreams in your heart. God's put some pictures in your heart of life the way God wants it to be in your life. He's given you a vision. He's giving you dreams. And it matters not if you're old or young. You know, throughout the scriptures, God gave younger people visions and dreams, but he also gave the elderly dreams and visions. Amen? So if you still have a pulse, there's still a dream. There's still a vision. And don't give up. And the reason a lot of us, we've given up on our dreams and visions is we've seen failures in the past, and we've been disappointed. We've been discouraged. And now there's a spirit of fear that is saying to us, just don't try anymore. But I want you to know the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen? So let's leave behind that fear that's dragging us down, and let's take a hold of the vision. And I want to challenge you as we start this new year, that vision, that dream that God has placed on your heart, I want to challenge you, start taking that first step. Just take the first step, all right? I'm not saying you're going to see everything completed in this next year. I don't know God's timeline for your life. But I want to encourage you, whatever that next step is in your life, let's shake off fear and procrastination and get with it and step into what God has for us. Amen? Take that next step to God's goodness in your life. Let's leave behind fear and procrastination. Take a hold of that God-inspired dream. Hallelujah. All right, so here's our checklist of things we're leaving behind in 2019. We're going to leave behind the nagging voice of self-condemnation. Check. Number two, we're going to leave behind every hint of unforgiveness, bitterness, and strife. Check. We're going to leave behind cynicism, negativity, and a critical spirit. And we're going to leave behind fear and procrastination. Hallelujah. Who's with me? Who's with me? I feel sorry for you this morning if you're not, you know. Yeah, let's get unstuck, right? Let's get unstuck. Yeah, some of you, you're holding up two hands. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. All right? So we're going to close with this passage of Scripture that speaks directly to what we're talking about this morning. This is the things I'm talking about today. These are things that the Apostle Paul put into practice in his own life. It's kind of a tongue twister. The things the Apostle Paul put into practice in his own life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, speaking of what God had for him, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul knew God had good things for him, but he also knew in order to get to where God was taking him, there were some things he was going to have to leave behind. Amen? Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. I press on. I press on. So as we close out this year, let's ask the Lord to help us wipe the dust off our feet. Amen? Amen. Forget those things that are behind us and look forward to a new year with great anticipation and joy. I got to tell you, church, I am excited about 2020. I am. I believe 2020 is going to be a breakthrough year for Bethel Church. I believe God is going to do so much in this place, it's going to blow us away. But I also believe this to be true of your life. I am believing for God that this is going to be a breakthrough year in your life. But it starts right here. It starts with saying there's some things with God's help that I need to leave behind so I can have the breakthrough that Jesus came and died for. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. What a great way to celebrate Christmas, by taking hold of the gifts of God. Amen? By taking hold of the very reason Jesus was born into this world, to give us a new life and a new start. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, I just want to invite you to open up your spiritual ears and ask the Holy Spirit, perhaps God's already done this, but ask the Holy Spirit what you need to leave behind. What area of your life do you need to have a fresh start, a clean slate, right? And maybe it's one of the areas that I touched on this morning, or maybe it's something completely different, because God knows exactly what each one of us needs. God knows where he's taken us, and he knows what we need to leave behind. So I just want to ask, are you here this morning? You can just right now, with the Spirit's help, you can recognize something you need to leave behind. And this morning, you're making a decision. You're saying, Lord, with your help, I'm going to leave this stuff behind. I'm leaving it behind me. I'm shaking the dust off my feet. And Lord, I want to start fresh. I want to start clean in this area of my life. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand up? Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. You can put your hands down. Now let me ask a second question. Are you here this morning and you need to have a fresh start in your relationship with God? Maybe you've never asked Christ into your life, or perhaps you need to make a recommitment of your life to Jesus Christ. It all starts right there. New life all starts with Jesus. You'll never find it anyplace else. This is the reason Jesus came into this world, to redeem us and save us and change our lives. So if that's you this morning, and this morning you want to make a decision to either make a restart of your relationship with Jesus or a brand new start in your relationship with Jesus, would you raise your hand up this morning, and I'd like to pray with you. Yeah, God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a prayer with those that have raised their hand. You can put your hands down, and I'm going to just lead you in a prayer this morning. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer along with me in church. Would you pray with those that have raised their hand this morning? Heavenly Father, I bring my life to you today. I'm in need of you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. And I need your life. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you've risen from the dead. So, Lord, this morning, I invite you to come into my life. I surrender to you. Amen. Amen. Amen.